إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is for Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid and His assistance and ask for His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and from the evil of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, no one will be able to mislead him or her. Whomever He leaves astray, nobody can guide him or her. I swear that there is no object, no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone without partner, and that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not in a state except Islam. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Today's topic was recommended to me by one of the congregants who's not here today, Patrick Benson. And the topic is the topic of Malcolm X. And the reason I'm going to talk about him today is because his assassination occurred on Sunday, a few days ago, February 21st. And among all of the people, among all of the Muslims who have lived in America, he's arguably the most famous. If you were to ask an American Muslim, do you know a Muslim American? Many would mention Malcolm X, right? And among all of the Muslims who have lived in America, he is the only one that I know of who has a Hollywood production after his name and a book that's become famous and is read in colleges and in universities and high schools across the country. And I think we would be amiss and we'd be wrong as Indians, as Pakistanis, as Bengalis, as Arabs, not to recognize the sacrifices of Malcolm X, of Waruddin Muhammad, of the Muslim Americans who are here and who struggled in the 70s and in the 60s. They made sure and they worked very hard that Islam existed in America at a time when Islam was very new for America and people didn't know much about Islam at that time. And Islam took this man, Malcolm X, if we examine his life, if we look at his life, it took him from a person who hated people based upon their color. He hated white people. He openly stated that he hated white people. But when he accepted Sunni Islam, it took him to love people of all colors, regardless of their race. And I'm quoting Malcolm X. He wrote a letter when he was on Hajj. He wrote a letter, and in that letter he stated, quote, "Never have I witnessed such sincere hospitality and overwhelming spirit of true brotherhood as is practiced by people of all colors and races here in the ancient Holy Land, the home of Abraham, Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all the other prophets of the Holy Scriptures. For the past week, I have been utterly speechless and spellbound by the graciousness I see displayed all around me by people of all colors, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans, but we are all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood that my experiences in America had led me to believe never could exist between the white and the non-white." So you can see from this statement that Malcolm X, Al-Hajj Malik Al-Shabazz is his Muslim name, his Sunni Muslim name. It transformed him. It really transformed. That Hajj experience transformed him in a huge way. You know, Malcolm X, he didn't fight any battles. He didn't have an army behind him. He didn't kill anybody. And he wasn't even educated in the modern sense, right? He dropped out in junior high school. And he dropped out because a white teacher told him that practicing law, his aspiration at the time, was no realistic goal for a black person. And later, Malcolm X recalled feeling that the white world offered no place for a career-oriented black man, regardless of talent. So, you know, he's a young kid, he's in school, and these white teachers who are very racist are telling him, you know, even though he's super smart, even though he has a lot of abilities, which become manifested later in his life, very clearly, they're telling him that, you know, it's not a realistic goal for you as a black person in America, you know, and then that caused him, one of the reasons why he dropped out of school. And he enters later on in his life, a few years later, into the school of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? And what is the school of Yusuf alayhi salam? It is a prison, right? And in the prison, he learned, just like Yusuf alayhi salam taught people in the prison, and he reformed them, and he caused them to be better people. Malcolm X also transformed in prison, and he became an excellent person, right? He went from somebody who was interested in crime to somebody who wanted nothing to do with crime, right? He learned how to dress properly. He learned how to speak properly. And he learned this all through the Nation of Islam. Later on in his life, after his death, if you look at some of the books that are written about Malcolm X, Al-Hajj, he's portrayed negatively by the media. And his memory never held as high as a status of Martin Luther King Jr. for multiple reasons. You know, we have a national holiday for Martin Luther King Jr. We don't have a national holiday for Malcolm X. Additionally, there was a book released around 2012, that made blatant accusations against Malcolm X, which some called a character assassination. However, after he became Muslim, Sunni Muslim, he became a powerful man, so powerful that people became jealous and scared of him. Even Shaitan became scared of him, is my opinion. Because now you had a powerful voice to speak on the issue of Sunni Islam, of Islam. Before he was a powerful voice. Before he became Muslim, he was a powerful voice. But he spoke regarding the Nation of Islam, which, according to many Sunni Muslims, did not practice the principles of Sunni Islam and violated them in many ways. So when he actually accepted Islam, he became a threat to many people, including the Nation of Islam. A letter written by Malcolm X while on the Hajj was recently released, and I want to share it with you today. So I'm going to share with you a letter that he wrote on Hajj. And that letter was written on April 26, 1964, and he died February 21st, 1965. So this letter was written 10 months before his assassination. And additionally, if we look at the history of Islam, and even in history in general, you see people who challenge the establishment of society, who challenge the status quo, people did not let them rest. People did not let them be as they were. And they did not let Malcolm X be as he was. And additionally, we have the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They also tried to assassinate him, right? They surrounded his house, and they attempted to assassinate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they also attempted to assassinate Malcolm X, right? They threw cocktail bombs at his house, and his house burned down. And he survived that, and later on he was assassinated while he was giving a public speech. And now you might be asking, why am I talking about Malcolm X? Again, for the newcomers, we're talking about Malcolm X because his assassination, the anniversary of his assassination, was a few days ago. And we're Black History Month, and the whole nation is talking about Black history in high schools and colleges. And it's appropriate as Muslims in America, I believe, to know about role models that we can look up to. You know, when we talk about Islam to our children or to the people in general among the Muslim community, we always refer back to the Sahaba 1,500 years ago. And we always refer back to the prophets of the Quran or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's an excellent thing to do. That's not a bad thing to do. But one of the responses you'll get, or one of the things that people are thinking when you try to encourage them to be like the Sahaba or to be like the prophets, is they are the Sahaba and we're not. Right? They are the prophets and we're not the prophets. Right? This is an excuse that Shaitan will implant in the hearts and minds of people. So guess what? There are examples around us who have lived and died in this century, and we should use them. And for some people, that will be more effective than going back 1,500 years ago, unfortunately, right? For me, I love hearing about the Sahaba. But for some people, they need to see a modern example of living Islam in America. And Malcolm X is an example of that, right? He was a great role model, and he sacrificed for Islam in America. And he spoke when nobody else would speak about Islam. And he spoke knowing that he would get assassinated. It is said that he knew he was getting death threats constantly after he came back from Hajj. Every day, every week he would get phone calls to his house and they would threaten to kill him. He knew he was going to get assassinated. They even told him, leave the country. Don't live in America. Go overseas for a couple of years and then come back until things calm down. And he wouldn't go overseas. He stood his ground and he said, no, I have something powerful. I have something beautiful and I want to share it with the people. And I'm willing to sacrifice my life for it. And this is why we're speaking about Malcolm X, because he's a modern role model, right? And this is a role model that's spoken about in America. We have a Hollywood movie about him. We have books about him. He studied in the universities, in the colleges. And this is something we should share with our kids, because it's important for them to see Muslims in America surviving and thriving. It's really important, right, for them to look up to these people, see these people, study these people. When I lived with the Turkish brothers, who I still associate with, there was a brother who came from Turkey. His name was Unal Abi. Unal is his name. Abi means brother. Like we say Unal Bai. We say Bai in India, Pakistan. So this brother, he's very old, maybe 60s, 70s, 80s. I'm not sure his age. And he's telling me through one of my friends, he's translating to me, that he was thrown in jail 3 times. And I asked him, why were you thrown in jail 3 times? He said, I was thrown in jail 3 times for reading a tafsir of the Quran and distributing it in Turkey, right? And for me, that was powerful. I had never met a Muslim who had sacrificed his life for the Quran. Like, that was amazing. Because those stories that you hear about, it's the Sahaba 1400 years ago. But you have a modern day example of somebody sacrificing in front of me. It was a huge impact upon me. And he said for each time that he was thrown in jail, he was sentenced to 7 years. But by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some political situation, something would happen, and then he would be released after a few months each time. And what's amazing about this guy is, first of all, he's super excited. Even though he's like 70 years old, he's super excited about the Quran. He doesn't know any English, but he'll go up to people to Americans, and he'll give them books. And he'll just like point to it and smile and tell them to read it somehow with his sign language. He's very excited about the Quran. But what amazed me about him was that, you know, he kept distributing the Quran even though he knew he could go to jail. He knew he could go to jail. He went to jail 3 times. So that means he didn't stop. First time he went to jail, he came out, he did the same thing again. Then he did it again, they threw him in jail, right? Then he did it again, they threw him in jail again, right? SubhanAllah. And this sacrifice for me, that was powerful. And this sacrifice, we need to hear about it. And these stories, we need to know about it and we need to distribute it. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning of which is, and do not say about those who are killed in the way of Allah, they are dead, rather they are alive, but you perceive it not. This is Ayah 154. And I would say, I believe, and many ulama believe, that Malcolm X is a shaheed, right? I believe he's a shaheed, right? He converted to Islam, Sunni Islam at the Hajj, and then within a year, he's assassinated. And he lived, and at that time, breaking off from the nation of Islam, making sure that he practiced Islam correctly. Even when he came back from the Muslim world, he brought a sheikh with him. He brought a proper Sunni sheikh from Algeria. And I have the pictures up there. I brought it with me because I don't think a lot of people know that story. And that sheikh washed his body for his janazah. And after he passed away, after he was assassinated, he went back to Algeria because he was getting so many death threats being part of Malcolm X's group. And Malcolm X, you have to realize, I mean, he had kids, he had a family, he had a life, right? It's not like he didn't have anything to lose. He had a lot to lose. And yet he stood his ground and he preached the message of Islam, the truth of Islam. So, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that ayah, do not say that they're dead. And we don't believe that they're dead. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the shaheed, they are in the bellies of green birds and they fly between the heavens and the earth. And they sit upon the throne of Allah. And Allah asks them, is there anything I can do for you? And they say, no, there's nothing. You've given us everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps asking the shaheed, is there anything I can do for you? And they feel, the martyrs feel embarrassed not to respond with anything. So finally they respond and they say, ya Allah, send us back to the earth so that we can be martyred again for your sake, right? And then Allah says, I cannot do that, for I have decreed death is the final and I cannot revive you. So Malcolm X is a great example of true jihad, right? And this is the jihad of Musa alayhi salam when he went to Fir'aun, right? What did he do? He didn't raise an army to go fight Fir'aun. All he did is speak. He spoke the truth in the court of Fir'aun, right? And Malcolm X is an example of the prophets where he's speaking the truth. So the letter that I have a letter from Malcolm X when he was on Hajj, written April 26, 1964, 10 months before he's assassinated. And I want to read that letter to you because it just, for me, was very beautiful reading that letter. And they just discovered it apparently on accident in a locker room. It's up for sale now somewhere for $1 million. But you don't need to pay $1 million. I have it right here. And you can look at it and I'm going to read it to you. I have just completed my pilgrimage Hajj here to the holy city of Mecca, the holiest city on earth, which is absolutely forbidden for non-Muslims to even rest their eyes upon. This pilgrimage is the most important event in the life of all Muslims. And there are over 226,000 who are here right now from outside of Arabia. Today we have what, 3 million? So 50 years ago, there was 226,000, and today 3 million people are making Hajj. From Turkey came the largest contingent, around 50,000 and over 600 buses. This refutes Western propaganda that Turkey is turning away from Islam. And now we see Turkey is, I would say, one of the most religious countries in the Muslim world. I know of only two other who have made the Hajj. So then Malcolm X talks about how he might be the first Muslim American to make that Hajj, right? So he is a pioneer, in a sense, of making Hajj from America. He says, I very much doubt that 10 American citizens have ever visited Mecca. And he says this, I'm not trying to boast about it, but I'm just saying so you can understand the context of what I'm speaking about, right? And an interesting story that I have regarding this, when I used to live in Philadelphia, there was a masjid that was following this example of Malcolm X and Waruddin Din Muhammad. It was called Masjid Allah. It was in the inner city of Philadelphia. And it was a predominantly black American masjid. And they did something that I've never seen another masjid do, the way that they've done it. And what they did is they had this huge plaque right when you walked in. It's a giant plaque. And on it were names. And maybe it could fit 500 names, but there was 100 names. And above the plaque, there was a picture of the Kaaba. And every year, they would try to send 6 or 10 people to the Hajj. This poor masjid. They would raise money all year long, do bake sales, you know, just random fundraisers, you know, speeches, talks, whatever they could do. And they would try to raise enough money to send 5 to 10 people to Hajj every year. And then when they came back, they did a dinner for them. And then they would put their name on the plaque, right? So everybody can remember that these brothers or these sisters made Hajj in this particular year. It was such a beautiful thing. And I believe that the reason this masjid and a lot of masjids, black American masjids, are so excited about the Hajj is because the transformation that Malcolm X had on Hajj and the way he wrote about it, and the beautiful way that he wrote about it. And this is something, you know, I encourage all of us to do, including myself. I have not been on Hajj. I feel like in our community, and I could be wrong, but this is my personal feeling, we kind of, you know, write off the Hajj as the fifth pillar. You know, we don't have to do it because we're not financially stable, we have debts, we have loans. And even, you know, some Muslims will travel the earth. They'll go to Hawaii, they'll go to Pakistan for a marriage, you know, they'll go here and there. But the Hajj, you know, we're waiting for a certain time, or we're going to wait till we're 60 years old and then we'll die on the Hajj, because then we'll be a pure baby. You know, there's a lot of theories of when we should make Hajj. But I believe their example is the best example. This masjid in inner city Philadelphia, where they're actively saving money and they're actively making it a goal for their masjid, that we're going to send 5 to 10 people this year. And we're going to do it even though, you know, we can barely afford the bills of this masjid. We're going to make it happen somehow with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they made it a goal for themselves. They worked for the goal and they made that goal happen. And that's something we should all do together, including myself. The letter continues, the pilgrimage to the holiest of cities has been a unique experience for me, but one which has made me the recipient of numerous unexpected blessings beyond my wildest dreams. Shortly after my arrival in Jeddah, I met with the Prince Muhammad Faisal, who later on becomes the King of Saudi Arabia, who informed me that his illustrious father, His Excellency Crown Prince Faisal, had decreed that I be guest of the ruler of Arabia. What has happened since would take several books to describe, but through the generosity of His Excellency, I have since stayed in top hotels in Jeddah, Mecca, Mina, with a private car, a driver, a religious guide, and many servants at my disposal. Never have I been so highly honored. And never had such honor and respect made me feel more humble and unworthy. And I love this statement because it shows his humbleness as a Muslim, right? A lot of people would argue that he deserves this blessing, right, for what he's done. I believe he deserves it. But he doesn't consider himself worthy of it. He says, I am unworthy. And this is a sign of a believer and a true scholar of Islam. And the letter continues, who would believe that such blessings could be heaped upon an American black man? But in the Muslim world, when one accepts Islam and ceases to be white or black, Islam recognizes all men as men because he created here, because the people here in Arabia believe that God is one. They believe that all the people are also one, and that all our brothers and sisters is one from one human family. And this is the beauty of Islam, right? That we erase, or at least we're supposed to erase racism when we accept Islam. We're not supposed to look at each other by their color, but we're supposed to look at each other as fellow believers. Malcolm X continues, I have never before witnessed such sincere hospitality and the practice of true brotherhood as I have seen it here in Arabia. So in his whole life, and he's at the end of his life, right? He's towards the last 10 months of his life. He's saying, in my whole life, I have never witnessed such sincere hospitality or the practice of true brotherhood as I've seen in Arabia. In fact, all I have seen and experienced on this pilgrimage has forced me to rearrange much of my thoughts, patterns, and toss aside some of my previous conclusions. This adjustment to reality wasn't too difficult for me to undergo because despite my firm conviction in whatever I believe, I have always tried to keep an open mind, which is absolutely necessary to reflect the flexibility that must go hand in hand with anyone with intelligent quest for truth that never comes to an end. And I like this sentence and this statement of his because Malcolm X, he's a seeker of the truth. And this is the way of the prophets. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he seeks the truth. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he seeks the truth. And also Malcolm X, he finds the truth, not in America, in a foreign country, in a country where nobody speaks his language. He sees the truth and he says, I accept it. He accepts it. And he changes his pattern of thinking because he's on a quest for the truth. And this quest for the truth is obligatory upon every Muslim. Just because we're born Muslim doesn't mean that quest for truth ends, right? We don't just say we're Muslim and then that's it, right? We continue to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue to read the Quran and the Hadith. We continue to look for His signs around us. أَكُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِيَ وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ I say this and I seek forgiveness from Allah and for me and for you and for the rest of the Muslims. So ask Him for forgiveness. He is surely the one who forgives the most merciful. Ask for forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam, ala Rasulillah, amma ba'd. So today we're talking about Malcolm X, for those who are late, and how important he is for Muslims to know. And the reason we're talking about him again, and I'm just going to restate this from the beginning for the people who came later, is because we need role models who we can look up to. People who have sacrificed for the religion, and who have truly sacrificed, and who we can look up to in this day and age, right? So that we can see how to live in America properly. How do we communicate with the people around here? How do we interact with them, right? What is the right way to do it? What is the wrong way to do it? Yes, we have the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a beautiful example. And we have examples of all the prophets in the Quran and the Sahaba. But they did live in a different place, in a different time, and they were surrounded by different people. And we live in a different place and a different time. And our context, our cultural context is different, right? And we need to take that in mind. And we need to find examples around us. And I believe one of the most beautiful examples around us that is celebrated in America by the American people is Malcolm X, right? There's a movie, there's a Hollywood movie about him. There are books written about him, many books. And he studied in the high schools and universities. And among all the books, I would say that really influences people to convert to Islam, Malcolm X's book is the one that's most often repeated after the Quran. So we have a few minutes. So I'll just go directly to the ending. I had a few more points. If you look at Malcolm X's life, you see a life of struggle, a life of pain, a life in which he went up and down and all around. You see a life of sacrifice. Out of all the books in America, and I stated this before, Malcolm X's books is the most influential in making people more either sympathetic to Islam or bringing them to Islam. And the ulama, some of the ulama consider him to be a shaheed. His grave is in the Bronx, New York, if you don't know. And I encourage all of you to visit his grave. And there's a museum in the Bronx as well dedicated to him. According to one alim, Umar Farooq Abdullah, he said that his picture was shown to the descendants of Usman Danforio. Usman Danforio is a mujaddid, a reviver of the religion, a great scholar who's written hundreds of books in West Africa in the 1800s. And his descendants are still there in West Africa, in Nigeria. And they showed the picture of Malcolm X to that tribe, some of the leaders of that tribe. And they believe that he's a Fulani. And a Fulani is a descendant. They're called the Fulani tribe, that he's a descendant of that tribe. Remember, a lot of the black people who are brought from Africa, they lost their lineage, they lost their history when they came to America. And many millions of them, perhaps, were Muslim, right? So it could be very much so that he descended from this noble tribe. So he spoke the truth like Prophet Musa alayhi salam spoke the truth. Like Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Malcolm X languished in jail for many years. Like Prophet Abraham alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he questioned who is God, and he seeked out the truth, and it led him to Sunni Islam. And like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, he was given eloquence of speech. One thing definitely I think everybody can agree on, Malcolm X had eloquence of speech, right? He can speak really well, and he practiced this skill. And when he was in the prison, it is said that he memorized the dictionary. He read the whole dictionary, and he really enjoyed reading the dictionary. And he said, he stated that if I could, I would just learn my whole life. I love learning. I love reading books, and he would learn. And that learning influenced and helped him later in his life when he went out to speak to people. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Surely Allah and His angels bless the Prophet. O you who believe, invoke blessings of Allah on him and pray to Allah to bestow His peace on him, greeting him with the best greeting. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Messenger of Allah. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Beloved of Allah. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Faithful Messenger of Allah's revelation. O Allah, bestow your peace and blessings upon our Master Muhammad, upon his family and companions, as many times as there are leaves on the trees and waves in the oceans and drops in the rains. O Allah, for the sake of every one of those blessings, forgive us and have mercy on us and grant us divine favors. O Allah, we ask you to bless our brother Malcolm X al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz and unite us with him in Jannah, and we pray for his descendants to stay on the path of Islam until the Day of Judgment. O Allah, protect us from the fire. O Allah, protect us from all kinds of trials in our religious and worldly affairs. O Allah, protect us from the trials of this age. O Allah, protect us from the trials of Masih al-Dajjal. O Allah, protect us from going astray from invention in religion and from calamities. O Allah, protect us from the evil of deluded ego. O Allah, protect us from the evil of the pharaoh-like ego. O Allah, protect us from the evil that may come from women and men. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the grave, the punishment of the judgment day, the punishment of hell, the punishment of being subject to your wrath. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the grave and the fire. O Allah, protect us from hypocrisy, from showing off in our prayers, from confidence in our good deeds and from vanity. O Allah, protect us from being wronged by those who go astray. O Allah, protect us from the evil of hypocrites. O Allah, protect us from the menace of the sinners. O Allah, protect us and give peace to the Muslims struggling all over the world, the Muslims of Syria, Myanmar, Pakistan, China, America, Russia, and in every corner where Muslims struggle in your way, please assist and help them. O Allah, protect us, our parents, students serving in the way of the Quran and faith, our friends who are sincere believers, our relatives and our ancestors from the fire. We seek your forgiveness, O you who grants refuge. We seek your favor and blessing, O most forgiving. O Allah, admit us into Jannah along with the truly virtuous. Admit us, our teachers, our parents, all our brothers and sisters, our relatives, our ancestors, and our believing friends who are steadfast in the service of the Quran and faith and who devote themselves unto Allah alone. Admit us all into Jannah with the truly virtuous. Ameen. All praise is due to the sustainer of all the worlds. Aqim as-salah. Allah.
Whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-whoop-a-la-wh